Until last month, low-income Medicare beneficiaries used Medicaid for prescription drugs. Now Medicare is supposed to pick up the tab for these people called dual-eligible beneficiaries. But the transition's been far from seamless.
There are hundreds of stories of people who have gone into their pharmacists that they've been seeing for years and years and years and not being able to get their drugs approved.
Carol Herman is commissioner of the Alabama Medicaid Agency. At least six states are using state dollars to cover those in need. But Herman says with 88,000 dual-eligible beneficiaries, Alabama can't afford to do that.
If we were to do what some other states are doing, with the number of dual-eligibles that we have in Alabama, it would cost us $23 million state dollars to do this, and we just do not have those resources.
Now, with regard to the dual eligibles, we absolutely need to be listening to the Medicare state directors like Carol Herman.
Republican Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions.
And if we need legislation to help smooth out some of the rough spots, I certainly would be supportive of that.
Dr. Richard Powers directs the Alabama Department of Mental Health and Mental Retardation. He says the difficulties are compounding the troubles of Katrina victims.
Listen, I saw about 15 people yesterday at the Wind Creek evacuation point. Most of them are Medicare, Medicaid. I would say that at least one-third of them had had problems when they went to the pharmacy.
He says even if this problem is temporary, it could have long-term ramifications.
The number one reason why people with mental illness relapse is because they quit taking their medications.
Carol Ledbetter is a nurse with the Alabama Mental Health Department.
When you bring a client out of the darkness of life and give them a life to where they can live and function and work and enjoy being alive, you don't want to put them back into an old cave or something or lock them up behind bars.
She says the agency's staff is tired and frustrated, having spent hours on the phone trying to sort out patient problems. Dr. Powers says people don't like admitting they're mentally ill, and taking mental health drugs is a tacit acknowledgement of the problem.
So every obstacle that you place in the way of medication compliance reduces the likelihood that that individual is going to continue to be compliant. These people are oftentimes the least capable of dealing with these very intricate bureaucracies.
Commissioner Herman says people warned of a systemic breakdown, but those running the new private plans didn't pay attention.
They didn't have enough customer service representatives. They didn't train their customer service reps appropriately. They didn't know about the transition plans. And that's where you had the meltdown.
She says the Federal Center for Medicare and Medicaid is working to improve the situation by increasing the number of customer service staff by 30-fold to handle the influx of complaints. But a spokesman for the National Mental Health Association says many of the new workers aren't familiar with the complex details of each plan and end up giving out wrong information. Sessions says with such significant changes in Medicare, he's not surprised there are difficulties. The senator stressed patience, saying it'll take time to get the new system in place.
The net result is going to be, for hundreds of thousands of Alabamians, a tremendous burden is going to be lifted from their shoulders. They're going to be able to have drugs without having to give up on food or other necessities.
But Commissioner Herman says what concerns her is the immediate problem.
And this will be 2 weeks where some people have struggled to get their prescription drugs covered, and we're reaching a crisis point.
Some doctors and nurses are using sample drugs or emergency funds to give patients medications they require, but they worry the supplies won't last long. For WBHM, I'm Benjamin Shaw on Capitol Hill.